The scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 14, verses 16 to 24. You can follow along on page 77 of the New Testament and the Christian scriptures in your pew Bible. I was reading this over during this week, and I don't know of anybody who has 5 yoke of oxen anymore. So if you will, take it upon yourselves to think about what it is that you are involved in that is so consuming that you can't listen to God. Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go at once out into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" So ends the reading of the work.
So if you're trying to figure out the setting of this story, Jesus is actually at a dinner party when he tells this story of another dinner party. So when it begins with "Jesus said to him," he's simply probably talking to a guest either on his left or his right and begins to tell this story. And with Jesus' parables, we know that we often have to figure out where we are in the story. So keep that in mind as we unravel this story today of a dinner party. Some Bibles give you headings, so you'll kind of know what you're reading or where you are in the story. So if you have a Bible that has headings, it's either going to say this is the great banquet or the great dinner. Now, when I thought about great dinners, I thought about this past week. This has been a week filled with dinners and food, right? With your Christmas celebrations with family and friends. And as you think about all of the meals you have consumed in this past week, chances are you have some fond memories here, or both, of the meals you have shared this week. So much about this Christmas time is about eating with people that we care about. You might have sat down at a table and been looking for some favorite food. Or maybe it's a family recipe that's been passed down from generation to generation that only appears at this time of year. Maybe your wonderful banquet was made special by the people who surrounded you at your table. And that's kind of the setting that begins this parable. The owner of the house invited his friends, the people he really wanted to come to be a part of this party. And you know, it takes a lot to put on a party if you're ever the one doing it for others. You have to go shopping, you have to figure out the menu, you have to plan the dishes, you have to prepare the food, you have to set the table. Everything has to be right, and then you expect the doorbell to ring, the guests to show up, the people to come in, the people to eat all of that food, and then to go home happy. It's what it takes to have a great dinner. Well, in the parable, we get up to the point where the table is set, the food is on there, it's starting to get cold, and nobody's ringing the doorbell. the staff come in and have to tell the owner of the house, I'm sorry, your phone's ringing off the wall, texts are coming in, people are not showing up. Your A-list isn't coming to your great dinner party. And they come up with all kinds of reasons. Well, if you've ever put on a dinner party, you know how disappointing it would be if your guests didn't show up, because your first thought is, what on earth am I going to do with all this food? That was probably going through the owner's mind. So he says to staff, okay, if they don't want to come, let's open up the doors. Let's open up the doors to the hungry and the homeless, the disheveled and the disfranchised, and let's invite them in. So the staff come back and say, sir, we've done all of that. They're all sitting at the table. They've got fork in hand. They're ready to eat. Then the story takes a different twist. There's actually a second invitation that is extended. And we sometimes miss that piece of the story. Person putting on the dinner party says, but the table's not full. There's still some empty chairs. Go out into the streets and the lanes and the avenues. Go out into the world and compel people. That's the powerful word of the text. Compel people to come in to this great dinner that is being offered. So the doors of the home have to open once again to this new crowd who are coming in, and the party can't start, the dinner can't begin until every chair is filled. So where do we fit into this parable? Who do you think, as the text says, the master? Who's the person hosting this party? Who do you think it is? Who do you think it is? Nobody knows? God. I think very clearly it's God or Jesus or whatever holy name you want to put there. That's the easy question. Too bad you didn't get the easy one. Because here's the hard question. Where do you think you fit into the story? Because Jesus told the parables for us to have an understanding about something. Where does the church fit into this story? That's the we I'm talking about. That's us, the body of Christ. Are we the A-list that called and texted in our excuses because we were just a little bit too busy to be bothered? How often have we done that as the church? How often have we just gone on about our own business that we have failed to see the need right in front of our eyes? Perhaps we're just so busy out there that we're missing the great banquet taking place where we have been invited and weren't smart enough to go. Or are we in that crowd of the hungry and the homeless, the disheveled and the disfranchised that no one wants really at their table, but who are delighted to bring a fork and a plate and have something to eat, because who knows when was the last time they ate? Or are we among those who had to be compelled, really given a persuasive argument and a reason why to stop whatever you're doing and come in and have a meal? Where is the church in this story? The word compel, I think, is the key to the entire story and understanding it. Compel means to be persuasive. You use that phrase often. You speak of you made a compelling argument or a compelling point of view. It says, I really paid attention to what you had to say, and I wanted to check out that a little bit more, right? That's what to be compelled is all about. I think the church needs to wake up, and it's a perfect time as we go into a new year to realize we need to offer a compelling message to the world. I mean, if you look around right now, it's the first group who showed up for dinner who are present. This is a small group, and not every seat is filled, right? So we've got to go out into the streets and the lanes and the avenues and the places of business and work and life in our communities and compel others to come join us for this great banquet. Those of you who were here Christmas Eve have said to me, wasn't it amazing how full this church was? And look at the difference of just a few days later. Do you realize, if you were here, that over two-thirds of the group assembled that night were not your faces? They were the faces of strangers and friends. People off the streets looking for something because the church door was open and they knew that they wanted to come hear a message of hope and promise. They came searching for something that we had to offer. They came with a yearning in their heart and soul to find something just a little bit deeper about that day that they wanted to grasp and hold on. We need to go find those people and remind them of the compelling gift we offer week after week. It's fitting that we tell this story today with this great banquet table set behind me and in front of you. For it is symbolic, I think, of this parable. And I don't think you can read that story without this table in mind. Every time we set it, we talk about it being a table of welcome for all. But as we do that, we also realize there are going to be some empty chairs around this table. There will be people at this table who will not be here because they don't feel comfortable. Because we haven't gone out and offered an invitation. We haven't gone out and asked them to come join us in this feast. They don't feel comfortable here because they may not fit in. They may not look the same. They may not act the same. They may not even eat the same foods. They may not even speak the same language, but they have a yearning in their heart. We need to go out into our world with this compelling message of God's love. And an invitation that truly has some meat to it, pardon the pun, that says all are welcome. And we shouldn't stop coming to this table until every seat around it is full. I think that's the power of this parable. It's a wake-up call to the church. If you're just satisfied being in here and doing nothing to offer an invitation, then you might as well be like the first group in the story who've gone on about their business and are a little too bothered to care. But if you really want this story to have some power, we have to be the ones to offer that compelling message to the world. The world always needs to hear that message. There's always people who need a word of hope, a beacon of light to show them the way. And I don't know of a person who does not have a hunger inside that it still needs to be filled. For we are all hungering and thirsting for what just might make life a little bit more hopeful and joyful and filled with love. So the table is now set. When you come to the table today, I want you to think of the empty chairs you see around it and be reminded of the work that is before us. Amen.